This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message by lead pastor Sam Mascarenhas. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
For those of you that were here as we began 2025, we had a theme for the year 2025, and in many ways, it was a prophetic theme, a prophetic declaration that God had placed in our hearts. And as I stand here before you on the last Sunday of 2025, I can look back to the first Sunday of 2025 and recall when we talked about the fact that the theme for our year, for our church in 2025, would be the theme of thrive. Everybody remember thrive? We said, we're going to thrive in 2025. We're going to thrive in 2025, and we began to declare that and believe and pray for that, and so that was a declaration that we made at the beginning of the year, that 2025 would be a year to thrive, and we based that on the theme on this scripture in Psalms 92 that I want to bring us back to, because oftentimes God blesses, God answers, God provides, and we just move on. And it's important to stop and say thank you. Amen? It's important to stop and say, God, you've done some great things this year. So here is the verse that really was the foundation for this theme for us as a church in 2025 to thrive. Psalms 92, verses 12 to 14 says, "The godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green." How many know that's a wonderful thing? I mean, that's a good promise. So let me ask you the key question. Who is that verse for? Who does that apply to? I got all morning. Oh, I don't know about everybody. It's that. The godly will flourish. The godly will flourish. The godly will grow strong. So there's something about being godly. And in this context, godly simply means those that are trying to be more like God. Those that are trying to live closer to God. Those that have a relationship with God. And let me tell you, all the married people say amen. Amen. If you've been married more than 25 years, say amen. Amen. I've heard this theory. I don't know if it's true. But I heard this theory that after 25 years of marriage, the couples begin to look like each other a little bit. Hopefully you're looking more like the better looking one. But I've heard, I don't know, I've heard that with time, they kind of begin to resemble each other a little bit. And I wonder if in our relationship with God, that should be true in our lives. That the longer you've been living with, connection with, and relationship with God, that we look a little bit more like God, that we act a little bit more like God, that we think a little bit more like He does, that we live our lives more in accordance with His word. I hope, I pray that as time goes by, we get closer and closer and closer to God. Let me ask you a very important question. How many of you would say that in 2025, you know for a fact, you actually got closer to God? Anybody here, you got closer to God in 2025? And for the next group, I won't ask you to raise your hand. I just want you to just think about it. Don't raise your hand. But think about this. Did you grow farther away from God in 2025? I know you're here today. Praise God. Congratulations. Now, did we get colder? Did we get farther? We have to pay attention to where we are in our relationship with God. Because the promises, the amazing promises of the Bible, they are not just for everybody. Just like this one, all of this is for the godly. The godly will flourish like palm trees. It is the godly that will grow strong. It is the godly who are transplanted. And I love that word. They are transplanted to the Lord's own house. So I love the fact that when we try to live godly, which means you try to live your life in accordance with the Word of God, you try to please God, every day you're mindful of God, every decision you make, you consult with God, that's godly. Godly is not a day. Godly is not a choice. Godly is a lifestyle. That every day, you're consulting the Bible. You're seeking God's will. That every day you're in relationship with Him in your worship. I don't want some of you to brag, but I do want others of you to think. So, don't raise your hand, but just think about it. How many of us pray every day on a regular basis? Don't say amen and like, oh me, hold on, because I might get to something you don't do, so don't overdo it. Ask yourself, pray every day. Read the Bible every day. Worship every day. In your car, in the shower, somewhere. Like, think about God every day. How do you make decisions? God, show me. God, like, that's godly. It's that level of connection. Coming to church once a week is not enough. Can you imagine all the married folks say amen? Can you imagine you only saw your wife on Sundays or your husbands on Sundays for an hour? And then you walk away thinking about what a wonderful relationship you have? No. This is about connection on a regular basis. Amen? This is about being connected with God. Because this is not the kind of church. Now, I know there's some churches where you can just go to church and check the box and you're good. This is not that kind of church. In this church, we expect that we're growing in our relationship with God. And once in a while, I will speak about the things that are off. Once in a while, I'll call us out on areas of our lives that need to be improved upon, because that is good correction with the spirit of love. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. So I want you to understand, being godly matters. Being godly matters, and it's more than just showing up to church on Sunday. It is a lifestyle. It is how important, how intricate, how woven into your life is a relationship with God. Is that part of the fabric of your life? The godly will flourish. It's a statement of fact. The godly will flourish. And they will grow strong. And so when you and I make a choice to be godly, to get closer to God, to stop playing games with God and get serious in this relationship with God, when we try to make those things, the promise from the Word of God is that you will flourish. And you will grow strong. And the reason for that is because God literally transplants you into the Lord's own house. I love that phrase and I love that image, because particularly when I think about the over 200 of you that were baptized in the name of Jesus this year at our church, what an amazing thing that was. That was awesome. But you know what I love about it? The majority of the folks that got baptized at our church this year were not necessarily raised in church. They didn't have a relationship with God the whole life. They were born in a different place, a different kind of family, different kind of environment, different kind of mindset. But you know what? When they came to Christ, God literally picked them up from where they were and He planted them in His house. Like, you belong here. God brought you here. It doesn't matter where you came from. The only thing that matters is right here, right now. I am planted in the house of God. That means I'm growing roots. That means I'm getting stronger. The strength is in the roots. So God brought you out from different places. God brought some of you from really bad backgrounds. God brought you out from difficult situations. God found you in a dark place. God found you in an area where you were messed up in your life, but somehow God picked you up. And when you get a hold of his hand, he brought you here. And now here, he wants you to grow strong. Here, he wants you to flourish. You've been transplanted into the house of God, into the courts of our God. That implies intimacy. Not everybody gets to the backyard. And even in old age, come on, all my old people. Amen. Even in old age. I don't know, but I've seen some old folks in this church that are more productive than some young folks. I've seen some old folks serving in ways young people are not serving. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They'll remain vital and green. These are promises for the godly. So it behooves us to employ some effort in trying to be more godly. All of us can be more godly, amen? All of us. All of us can strengthen that relationship with God. All of us can step that up. I don't know how many levels, but if this was about levels, all of us have a few clicks we can go up on. And so as we come to the end of the year, a couple of things I want us to be mindful of. Number one, we're here. We've come to the last Sunday of 2025. And I don't know about you, but I want to encourage you to finish this year and be grateful. Amen? How many are sincerely grateful to God? Like sincerely thankful. Like, you know what? God's been good. And so as we come to this last Sunday here, I love this Psalm 95. It says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And notice how that thanksgiving is manifested. Notice how that thanksgiving is made obvious. Notice how thanksgiving is shown. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. So the thanksgiving that God appreciates is not the shallow, plastically half-hearted, "Yeah, I'm thankful. I'm so grateful." No. God wants our thanksgiving to be made with a joyful noise, with songs of praise. That's the opportunity you had at the beginning of the service, to sing some songs of praise. So just say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for bringing me. So let me ask you for a second just to reflect. I really want you to put your thinking caps on for just a few seconds. And let's have a little bit of reflection. And the question is this: in how many ways has God blessed you this year? Just think. Think deeply. Think thoughtfully. In how many ways has God blessed you this year? Think of all the areas, all the categories of your life. Think of all the puzzle pieces. Think of every dimension in which you live, at home, in your family, in your marriage, in your family, in your relationships, at work, at school, in your finances, in provision. In how many ways has God blessed you? God's been good to us. Amen. How many ways? How many have multiple ways you can think of in which God has blessed you? Multiple areas in which God has blessed you. Come on. If you can even raise your hand. Right? You could be in a hospital room right now with no strength. Oh, I wish I could lift my hands. In how many ways? In how many ways In how many ways has God blessed you? So when you think of His goodness, when you think of the many ways in which He has blessed you, God says, we ought to make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. And so I know we've all thought about multiple areas and ways in which we're blessed. And what I want to just encourage you with this morning is that our thanksgiving should be alive. Amen? Our thanksgiving should be lively. Our thanksgiving should be accompanied with joyful noise and songs of praise. Said differently, your and my thanksgiving ought to be in proportion with your blessing. Your thanksgiving ought to be in proportion, commensurate with your blessing. If God only blessed you a little bit, fine, just a little bit of praise. But if God blessed you a lot, then your thanksgiving and your praise ought to be in proportion to what God has blessed you with. Amen? Now, I love sports. Well, I used to love them more before. But I'm always drawn to the way in which people celebrate in sports. There's some people in church, I can't get you to lift your little hand. There's some of you here, because I've seen you on Instagram. And when your sorry team wins, you go nuts. You go nuts. You're jumping and shouting. Because now you're 2-14. But we won. And I love the we. You were in your couch. You didn't do anything. They won. You cheer for them. Not we. And we can be so, but you know, somehow, as a society, we've made it okay for people to go nuts for their sports team. Right? It's okay. Right? You have the jerseys and you get all in. And yeah, I'm not against it. It's awesome. Have a good time. Go for it. But if I'm God, and I'm the one that's blessing you, and I see your excitement over that be 20 times what it is for me, I think I'd have a problem with that. Luckily, I'm not God. He's gracious. But it does make you think, my thanksgiving, my gratitude, my expression ought to be proportionate to my blessing. Amen? So one more time, if God has been good to you in 2025, why don't you give God a big praise this morning? He's watching. He's watching. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Say it again. Amen. In proportion to the goodness of God. We could have lost our life. We could have lost our jobs. We could have lost our family. We could have lost our, but glory be unto God. Like, no. Now, first of all, we finish with gratitude. Amen? And I encourage you tonight, and as you get to the 31st, the end of the year, be grateful. And I know somebody's saying, I know I can feel the question. Oh, pastor, you don't know. How can I be grateful? You have no idea, pastor, what I'm going through, what's happened. Okay, so let's go there. Let me ask you, what's missing in your life? What's missing? And what would you say God didn't do that you hoped He would do? What area did He not come through in that you needed Him to come through in? What's missing? The Bible says in Psalms 84, I love this verse. It says, the Lord is our sun and shield. He is our sun and shield. In other words, the sun represents life and light. The Lord is our light. The Lord is the giver of life. But he's also our shield. He's also our protection. So God gives us life and also protects us from the things that we want to steal our life. He's both. Not only that, he gives us grace and glory. I love that about God. Because God gives us grace when we fall and glory when we rise up. Anybody here experience the grace of God? That you fell, you know you messed up, you know you did wrong, you know you don't deserve, but glory be unto God. He still blessed you. He still gave you strength. He still provided for you. He didn't leave you nor forsake you. He was a very present help in your time of trouble. That's the grace of God. We don't deserve it. We're not good enough. We're not consistent enough. But glory be unto God that he has grace towards his people. He gives us grace. And some of you right now need to get a hold of God's grace, because guilt and shame is eroding at your heart, because the accuser is coming at you for the things you did wrong and for the ways in which you mess up and all the times that you were wrong and all the times you fail. I know the enemy comes into your heart, into your mind, trying to say, oh, look at you, a hypocrite at church this morning, but did you forget? No, the devil is a liar. Grace is here to wash you and cleanse you and make you whole in the presence of God. He gives us grace. And then he gives us glory that you got up. He gives you glory. He celebrates you. He celebrates me. He celebrates us when we get back up again. Yeah, we've fallen, but glory be unto God, we've gotten back up again. And when you get back up again, God's cheering you on. He gives you glory. He's like, yes, that's my baby. That's my son. That's my daughter. I knew you when I'm here with you. Get back up. Let's keep going. He is our grace and our glory. And I love this last part. The Lord will withhold no good thing from everybody? From who? From who? From those who do what is right. You know, as I was reading this verse throughout this week, it took me back to when I was young. And I had to go way back. Raise your hand if you've been serving God for a long, 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 long time. Long, 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 long time. Like since you were youth. And I remember when I was young, teenager. You know, I gave my life to Christ when I was 14 years old. I was baptized in his name at 14. I don't think I've taken a year off. I've been consistent. And I remember in high school, you know, because when you're young and you're in high school and you play sports and you're popular and you have friends and they're all doing stuff. And I was a Christian. And my friends knew that I was a Christian. And because of that, and I was committed to my faith, so I wouldn't do the things they did. And in a way, they respected me, which I appreciated. That's why they were my friends. They respected I was a Christian. And so after the football game, you know, we'd won. We didn't win that many, but those times we won, it made the celebrations all the sweeter. And so they go out. We go out as a team and somebody's house, and the red solo cups start flying. And they're all drinking, and all the girls are there, and the party's going on, And my friends would look at me with some sadness because they knew I wouldn't do the things they were doing. I was there because I was part of the team, But I was missing out. And they felt sorry for me because I was missing out. And if I can be fully transparent, I felt sorry for me because I was missing out. Then I went to college, and there was a lot of partying. I was there during a very heavy party season. And all my friends, and they're partying, and they're drinking, and they're doing all this stuff, and sleeping around. And they had a little pity on me because I was missing out. And if I can be honest, many times I felt like I was missing out. I'm missing out. They're having so much fun, and they're having all these experiences, and they're trying all these things. And here I am, boring Christian me, missing out on all those things. But at some point, I really believe the Holy Spirit had to do a correction in my heart. Because my focus for years had been on the things I was missing out from the world. And God had to do a check on my heart. And then I began to think about all the things the world is missing out on because they don't have God. And then the question becomes, who's missing out the most? Because if you're doing everything the world offers you, all the sinful stuff, you're not missing out on the world, but you're missing out on God's blessings. Because the blessings of God are for the godly and for those who do the right things. And so, I guess the moral of the story is that in this life, you're going to miss out on something. Nobody's going to get everything. Your choice is, do I miss out on the sinful pleasures of the world? Or do I miss out on the blessings from God? And that's your choice. And you can say, oh my God, the gospel, the Bible is so complicated. Here it is. Choose. This is not new. Remember the Old Testament? I place before you life and death, blessings and curses. Oh, that you would choose life. That's been the heart of God for thousands of years. And here we sit today at the end of 2025 with the same choice before you. And a reminder from the Word of God that the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. He withholds no good thing. Sometimes God withholds bad things. Have you ever prayed for something that God didn't give and you were mad, and 2 years later, like, oh, you're glad you didn't get that? Oh, come on, God. I love him. He's so cute. Come on, God, give him to me. And God doesn't come through. You're like, oh, God didn't give him to me. He went with her. 2 years later, he was a loser. Thank you, God, for withholding a bad thing from me. Have you ever prayed for the wrong thing? You ever pray for the wrong person? If you're married now, just keep your hand to yourself. Here is a promise from God. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. You want every good thing that God has for you to come your way? Do what's right. Not on Sunday mornings only, on Friday nights, on Saturday nights, on Wednesday mornings, on Tuesday nights. Amen? Wow, we got quiet this morning. I just want to remind you, God, this is the Bible. God withholds no good thing. So it's up to us to do our part to receive that. One last thing and then we'll do communion. So we get to the end of the year. We have some ups, we've had some downs. We've had some victories. We've had some defeats. We've had some good days, we have some rough days. Through it all though, here is a prayer that I want us to pray, because it is important that we finish strong. And you being at church this Sunday morning on this last Sunday of the year, that's part of finishing strong. But I love the way Psalm 65:11 says it. I love this. You crown the year with your goodness. Your ways overflow with plenty. You crown the year with your goodness. You crown the year. If you think about the old days, you know, with kings and queens, as they would get ready and they would put on their royal attire and their royal robes, the last thing they put on was the crown. That was the last thing. And the crown is really the finishing touch. The crown is the last thing that solidifies who you are. And I love how the psalmist puts it. You crown the year with your goodness. And regardless of what kind of year you've had, I could literally sense in my spirit God coming over you and me and just putting a crown over this year. Crowning the year with his goodness. Today, I want us to declare God's goodness over our year, over our life, and over our families. Amen? God, today, crown this year. As we come to the end of 2025, crown this year with your goodness for my life, for my family, for my loved ones. And I love this last little phrase. Your ways, back to being godly, back to obeying God, back to doing the right thing for the right reason, back to that lifestyle. Your ways overflow with plenty. The King James says your ways overflow with fat. I didn't want to put that version because right now after the holidays, that didn't sound good. Your ways overflow with plenty. Back again, when you follow the ways of God, yeah, you're missing out on the sinful stuff, but his ways are ways of plenty. There's plenty in the ways of God to keep your life satisfied. I don't feel sorry for myself because I missed out, quote unquote, on everything the world had to offer, especially when I was younger. I don't have regrets. I don't feel, oh man, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. No, because the ways of God have been so much richer and so much better and so much more enjoyable than the ways of the world. So if you're young today and you're trying to weigh what you're gonna miss out on, talk to some old people here today. Because old people with wisdom would tell you to miss out on the pleasures of this world that are sinful pales in comparison to the blessings you receive from God in return. Not even close. Not even close. It's like if I asked you, looking at somebody young here, you're young. If I asked you, give me a $5 bill and I'll give you $100, would you do that? I would. I mean, you give me a $5, I'll give you $100? That's a good deal. Yeah, I'm missing out on $5. But what I get in return is so much better than what I gave up. That's the deal. Yeah, you're gonna give up some things your flesh wants. But what God gives you in return for that is a multiple. You'd be dumb not to. You'd be foolish not to. That's the choice. But when all you do is focus on the five, boy, it's hard to let go of that five. When you realize God's got something better for you, you're like, oh my God, every day, all day long. That's the choice. Everybody say the godly. That's for us. If we choose to do that. Now, let's finish with this. We'll get to communion. Because all of this speaks to the power of connection. All of this speaks to the power of being connected so that we can live in the overflow of His ways. To stay connected so we can live in the overflow of His ways. So this connection becomes important. Connection with God, connection with each other, super important. Jesus put it this way in John 15. He said, everybody say, remain. And look how many times that word's there, because that's really the theme. Remain in me, Jesus said, and I will remain in you. So, just stop there for a second. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Who starts that? Where does that start? It starts with us, right? Jesus is saying, if you choose to remain in me, that's your choice, and it starts with you. If you choose to remain in me, I'll remain in you. I won't leave you. I won't leave you stranded. I won't forget about you. But it's our choice. Notice the power we have to be blessed. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Fruitfulness, blessings, abundance, all those verses we talked about, here it is. It comes from that connection with God. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So the key to a blessed life, the key to the abundance of God's ways, the key to everything God promised, the key is in our connection with God and our connection with each other. How many of you are grateful that you have a relationship with God? You know God. Like, you have a relationship with God. That's what this is about. It's a relationship with God. It's not religion. It's not check the box. It's not a label. It's an actual relationship with God, where you love God and you can feel His love. That's a relationship. Now, how many of you are thankful that you have a relationship with people here at Lighthouse Church? Amen. It's both working together. Amen. He's the head. The church is the body. And so it's in this relationship with each other. It is in this connection with God, in this connection with each other, that the blessing flows from. I spoke enough this morning about the importance of your choice for God, choosing Him, connecting with Him, having a relationship with Him. I think you get that. Let me just spend 1 minute on the importance of our relationships with one another here in this church. Amen? Super important that we stay connected with each other in this church. Part of what the devil tries to do in churches is to sow seeds of division. This group doesn't talk to that group. They don't get along with that group. That family doesn't talk to that family. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Those people don't talk to those people. No. When you do that, you're disconnecting. And when you disconnect, you lose the blessing. So it's connecting with God, first and foremost, and then connecting with everybody here. I can honestly tell you, as a pastor of this church, I don't have a personal problem with any one of you. I have nothing against anybody in this church. I don't. I love you all. It's important that you hear me say that, because a lot of pastors live with so much hurt. So much hurt. Oh, this family, that family, oh, they didn't shake my hand. No. I'm good. I'm good with you. I pray you're good with me. Now, I pray you're good with everybody here. Because when you're not good with somebody here, God would say, before you come and worship me and ask me for something, go back and fix that. Don't bring me your worship. Don't bring me your prayer. Go fix that. Go say sorry. Go reconcile. You don't have to be best friends with everybody. No, but you got to love each other. Amen? So I'm asking everybody here, if you got beef with somebody here, fix it. And fix it fast. Because that evil root will grow into a nasty bush. Fix it now. And if you don't want to fix it, don't take communion. You're not connected. We good? All right, we're not going to have drama here. We're not going to be petty here. We're God's people. We're God's children. Amen. We love each other. We respect each other. So with that, we're going to pray. And this is a prayer of letting go. Let it go. Let it go. No, don't follow me. You got something against somebody, let it go. Forgive them. Oh, but you don't know. I don't need to know. Forgive them. Oh, but they don't deserve it. Neither do you. God forgave you. Forgive them. Okay? So we're going to pray right now to let go of anything. I know somebody gave you a cheap Christmas gift and you're still mad. Let it go. Somebody was supposed to bring something to the Christmas dinner and they didn't bring it. Let it go. Let it go. Just release them. Release them. We're going to pray for a prayer. It's a twofold prayer. I want us to pray a prayer of cleansing. Anything in our life, in our heart that separates us from God, that creates distance from God, any habits we've developed, any things we began to do that are creating some distance between you and God, we're going to pray those away. And we're also going to pray that God would give us the strength to forgive and to let go so that we can be free to love. And then we're going to do communion. Is that okay? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Before I start praying, begin your prayer. This is very personal. I want you to confess anything that is creating some distance between you and God. Right now, just confess it to God in your own way. No one has to hear you. It's between you and God. But let's confess some things. There's some things you know don't please God. There's some things you know God's not happy with. There's some things you know I've created a little bit of a barrier and a gap in your walk with God. Confess that. Repent from that. We're not here to shame you. We're here to connect you. So in your own way, confess anything that's getting in the way. Anything that's creating distance between you and God, just say, God, I'm sorry. I confess it. Forgive me. Cleanse me and purify me. Let your blood cover me. Lord, we pray right now, God, anything in our heart, anything in our mind, anything in our lifestyle, any habits, anything that's developed that's creating separation between us and you, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that we may just confess it to you. We repent, God, of our wrong. We repent of our sin. We repent of the things that we know go against your will and your word. God, cleanse us, purify us, take away the stain of sin, take away the stench of sin, and help us, Lord, to have full access into your presence, not because we're worthy, but because of your grace. Lord, we also pray, should there be anything in our heart against anyone, particularly in the household of faith, in our families, in our loved ones, at work, God, we release that anger, we release that hurt. We issue forgiveness, God. just like you have forgiven us, we forgive them, God. Take away any roots of bitterness. Take away any roots of anger. Take away any roots of hurt that are trying to grab our heart. And I pray this morning, God, that we would be fully connected with you and fully connected with our brothers and sisters here today. That we may be able to partake in communion and celebrate the fact we are part of the body of Christ. And Lord, what a privilege, what a blessing. Thank you, God, for 2025. Thank you for all your goodness. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you, God, that through everything, God, we're here today, we're blessed. We pray your blessing upon us here today, God. Bless our church, every member of our church, God. Help us to draw closer to you, closer to each other, to fulfill your purpose for our lives and to be blessed. And for all the amazing things you're getting ready to do by faith in advance, we give you praise. We declare all of this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen.
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org to stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.